Titus 3, verses 4 to 7. Redemption. Redemption. Now, in this discourse, I want to speak of redemption, its end, its culmination, its purpose, the aim of God in this redeeming work. Let us just trace where we have traveled these last few discourses. In verse 3, the apostle opens with the state of the natural man. At one time, foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures, we lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. This is the natural man. This is the man in Adam. This is the man as he is born. At one time, we too, brother and sister, he's writing to us, we too were like this. We were dead in our sins. We were foolish. We were cut off from God. We were in bondage. We were disobedient. We were deceived. We were deluded. We were enslaved, bondage, death, cut off from God, in darkness, on the road to damnation, in misery and wretchedness. Oh, we may have been respectable and religious and all the rest of it, but in the sight of God and in reality, we were dead in our sins, deaf to God, dumb, we could not speak his praise, disobedient, we would not submit to his commandments, we would not trust his promises, we rejected him. We were ignorant of God. We were foolish. We were cut off. But, verse 4, what a glorious word. But when? Then the apostle launches out into the glorious work of redemption. And we've seen who the Redeemer is. The triune God himself, the sovereign God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And we've seen that they plan this salvation. They accomplished this salvation, and now they're applying it. The Father planned it, the Son accomplished it, and the Spirit is applying it to the elect today. And what is this work of redemption? Well, it's a deliverance from all this bondage and corruption and slavery. It's an undoing of it. It's a release. It's a redemption, a ransom, a deliverance, I say. And it's all on the basis of God's love, mercy, grace, kindness, and goodness. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, the sovereign act of God, not because of our works, but because of his, but because of his mercy. He saved us. And then the means of it, the glorious regenerating power of the Spirit, the justifying grace of God. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we are regenerated, we are brought to faith. The apostle in verse 8 speaks of those who trusted in God. We are justified by faith on the basis of God's grace, through the work and blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then in this discourse, I come to these words. So that, in order that, having been justified by his grace, having redeemed us, what did he redeem us for? He redeemed us from our darkness and bondage and death. But what has God delivered us to? Whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, that's the work of the Spirit. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become what? Heirs. Heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Look at these glorious words. Remember where we started. Foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved, bitter, misery, wretchedness, cut off from God, damnation. Look where we end up. Heirs. Joined heirs with Jesus. Heirs of everlasting life, heirs of eternity, heirs of everlasting bliss. We're inheritors, brother and sister. We have this now, but we shall have it in abundance. Hope. Now, hope in the Bible does not mean wishful thinking. Cross your fingers. Oh, let's hope so. Vain hope. No, no, no. This is a confident, certain expectation. The only thing is, we don't have it in its fullness now. We've tasted. We've had a glimpse. But the full realization of it is yet to come, and yet it's certain to come. And this is what the apostle is speaking of here. Having the hope, the certainty, the certain expectation, the assurance, the confidence, the guarantee of it all. Of what? Life. Life with a capital L. I am come that they might have life, said Christ, and that they might have it in abundance. They might have it in its fullness. They might have it exceeding gloriously. I am come that they might have life, everlasting life, and have it in abundance, and have it in beyond expression. It's eternal. And that doesn't just mean quantity, the length. It means the quality. It means the, not just existence, but the enjoyment forever and ever of bliss indescribable. Of course, the unbeliever will say, what does this mean, eternal life? And I can't explain. All I know is the exact opposite of verse 3. And whatever dread and whatever darkness and whatever bitterness and whatever sadness is there, the opposite is true for the believer. He has this hope of everlasting life, this eternal life, this not eternal existence, but eternal enjoyment, and have it to the full, and have it in abundance and beyond description. And it's all through the blood, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and the sovereign redeeming work that he accomplished, and then the regenerating power of the Spirit, and the glorious justification by faith, the grace, the kindness, the mercy, and the love of God. This is our hope. This is our expectation. This is our end. This world is not our home. We are going to the glory, the everlasting glory, and we have this certain and assured hope. Unbeliever, I hope my words will make you long for it. Don't you see where you are? At one time, we too were there, in verse 3, in this deadness and foolishness and blindness. You are still there now, but you no need to stay there. Trust in Christ. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Trust his merits, his blood, his righteousness. Come to this place where you call upon God for his kindness, mercy, love, and grace in Jesus Christ. And you too will then be able to say that you're an heir of everlasting life, and you have this glorious assurance and this hope, and it's yours and shall be yours forevermore. And you'll experience it. You'll taste it now. But one day you will come into the fullness of it. This is the end of this redeeming work of God. This is the purpose of it. It is to deliver us and deliver us with abundant life and joy forevermore. And we have this hope. I'll close with a hymn, On Hope, by Mr. Stevens. Good hope through grace the saints possess, the fruits of Jesus' righteousness, and by his Spirit given. Faith eyes the promise, firm and sure, and hope expects for evermore to dwell with Christ in heaven. Good hope is born of sovereign grace, and lives in Jesus' righteousness with faith and peace and love. What faith believes, good hope desires, and after perfect bliss aspires in the bright world above. Or through the wilderness below, good hope expects more good to know, and thus is kept alive the soul that many a trial bears, and conflicts hard with doubts and fears, till joy and peace arrive. When gloomy death in dread array appears to call the saint away, faith looks beyond the flood, and when the soul to march prepares, good hope sends out her fervent prayers, and dies in peace with God.